The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Father. Thank you for Hahishi Ferende Prahleta de Brinu to Faklahe de Bredibonaya. Indeed, the sacrifice is to bring light. The sacrifice is to bring light. The sacrifice is to make the love from light available. For light holds a love. Light holds a life. Light holds a future. Light holds the future. Light holds the love of God. The love of God is separated from man by light. The light has been made manifest by the blood of the sacrifice, so that death is dealt with, so that darkness is judged. The sacrifice is to judge darkness. This sacrifice is to judge the darkness. But the darkness is not judged except by the blood. For the blood holds the light. The blood brings the light. The light reveals the love. The light reveals the future. The light reveals the love of God. The light reveals the love of God. The sacrifice is to judge the darkness. This sacrifice has been made. And judgment is come upon the darkness. Lo, this is an evidence of the judgment, that comprehension is being given to you, that understanding is coming to you. For when darkness cannot comprehend light, you have become the light that cannot be comprehended. For comprehension is coming to you. Understanding is coming to you. We are giving you understanding. We are dispensing light. We are dispensing light because the sacrifice for light has been made. The sacrifice for light has been made so that by light you can enter love. That by light you may be so separated from the darkness, and the darkness will not comprehend you. Behold, the sacrifice to make light available has been done.
Thank you for the sacrifice, Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice to make light available so that we can be led into your love. We appreciate you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. Can you show me Philippians 1:9 and the verse 10? I just want to look at that scripture, Philippians 1. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Hallelujah. So that's the commitment of the Father, that our love will abound more and more. More and more. And when you hear more and more in the Bible, it's talking about the dispensing of life. The dispensing of life. Said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that they might have life, and I have it more abundantly. So that he told us there are three things involved: life, more life, abundant life. And so he wants our love to abound in knowledge and all judgment. So we need to understand the love of God. Behold, what manner of love. That manner of love. We need to understand that manner. Because it's that manner of love that can bring us into all judgment. And when we get to that point, we have arrived at the realm of all pleasing. But what will make that happen is as we abound more in the knowledge. So there is a need for the knowledge of God to be dispensed to us. Now, love is fully operational by knowledge. Love is not what is abstract. Love is what is based on knowledge. So what fuels love is knowledge. And so God wants us to receive His love and also grow in that love till we come to the realm of all judgment. Hallelujah. I'm so amazed by the lines of that song. So powerful. So powerful. Can you show me where it said love is not passive? It's not disengaged. And I was saying, who wrote this song? Who is this person? Who is this person? The line before it, yeah? Your love is not passive. It's never disengaged. It's always present. It hangs on every word we say. So the love of God is in the present tense. His love is never... I'm just seeing language here. You know, in English language, we have active voice and passive voice. He kicked the ball. You can know immediately who kicked the ball. Because it's the, you call it agent. It's shown already. He, Olu, kicked the ball. So Olu is the agent. But the ball was kicked by him. You have changed it to passive. And then you have hidden a lot of information. You have hidden the agent. And this is used so much in the government circle. So that you can't lay claim on anybody. So that you can't put it on anybody. Because you don't know who said it. So in a lot of government discussion and discourse, the agent is always hidden. They did it. Who did it? We can't know. But you see the action, you don't see the performer. Like, they, you know, that they met Jesus and they said, this woman was caught in the very act. Who caught her in the very act? With who? Where is the man? Agent deletion. That's what we call it in language. But love of God does not delete. It's not disengaged. It doesn't hide. It's in the active. It's always present. It hangs on every word we say. What a love. Keeps His promises. Keeps His word. It honors what is sacred. Because its vows are good. Your love is not broken. What a love. It's not insecure. It's not selfish. Your love is pure. Now, what will bring this is a conscience that has become pure. But you can't tell me you have a pure conscience now. You are not Paul. Before Paul could start talking about pure conscience, he has lived in all good conscience. So you start from good conscience before you get into pure conscience. So don't think you are that person being described there. You are not. But that's what we are meant to be. That's who we are meant to be. And then we will become that love. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful day to be alive. Like I like to say, because sometimes I just look around and I wonder, how am I different from people walking on the road? What is that thing that has made me different from them? When I see people in situations, I was going on the road sometimes in Lagos and I saw a guy who has just been freshly crushed. His leg, the whole of the leg has just been crushed. I don't know what crushed it. And the guy was lying there lifeless. He was conscious. He was looking. He was not even shouting. He was not even screaming. So I know the leg is dead already. And then he just placed the leg just like that at Ojota there. And a lot of people gathered. And I saw it and I was not okay for a lot of time. I was not okay. And he was even using crutches. So who could have done that? And I wonder, so what will happen to him now? The whole leg is gone. I mean, mashed. Mashed together. You can't see nail or two, everything. The whole of the leg, not even mashed together. And I was just wondering, blood. See, Jesus, I'm just there. And then I saw another man just adjusted himself around the garbage dump and then slept, adjusted himself and slept very well. And I said, it could have been me. But so what separates us? What differentiates us? We are nobodies if not for God, if not for this love. That's what separates us. And that is why it's so funny when you see somebody proud. You just wonder, you could have been an ant. You could have been a mosquito that would be killed with sniper. You could have been anything. But you just need to keep looking at yourself in the love of God. Looking at yourself with the eye of His love. Who am I? Like that song, Mortal Man, Awesome God. Who am I that you think of me? Who am I? Like, what is man? What is man? But only God knows what man actually is in his heart. And that's the essence of the gospel, to show unto us what God has made man to be, that man departed from. And He has outlined a path to bring man back into the estate. What a glorious estate God has for man. So when we look at ourselves in that light, we give glory to God. Our hearts are meek, our hearts are humble, and then want to follow on. Hallelujah. The love of God is so great. Hallelujah. We appreciate the love of the Father. Amen. I'm sure your heart is full of His love, and you will extend the same to your brethren. 1 John 5:1. Show me 1 John 5:1. That's how we are meant to live. So if you claim you love God, and whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, you believe that? And everyone that loveth Him, that begat. Who is it that begat us? God. So everyone who claims to love God, what do? You also love the one that is begotten of Him. So if you claim you love God who has begotten sons, you must love what God has begotten. A lot of us want to bypass process to get to God. No. You don't love the brethren, you don't love God. You can't claim to love God when you don't love the brethren. When it's not shown in the brethren, you don't know what the brethren means to God. There's a scripture, 1 Peter 1:22, I think. 1 Peter 1:22. Show me that scripture. He situated love with the brethren. You see that? Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying what? The truth. Through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of God. Abby. You see that love of the brethren even purifies your soul. See that. Now when you say see to it, it's a serious instruction that completely lies in your hand. It's a commandment. So God doesn't want to hear. Don't you know how He behaves? Don't you know how she behaves and all of that? God doesn't want to hear that. He has told you, see to it. Do you know the reason why He says see to it? Because He has given you what will enable you to be able to do that. See that you love one another with what? A pure heart, fervently. Fervently. Fervent. We have not got here. Let's not deceive ourselves. Even for you, for those of us who are married, do you love your wife this much? Fervently. With a pure heart. Huh? If they ask you, do you love your wife? You say, I love my wife. No, you love your wife in understanding to that point. But if God shows you some things, you know that we are all walking in that journey to love. And that's why He gave that picture. As Christ loved the church, He loved the church fervently and gave Himself to the church. Can we give ourselves to one another? You don't know the power of love. Love is powerful. It's stronger than death. He that loveth the brethren has passed from death to life. So one of the ways to life, in fact the way to life is the way of love. And that's why the whole discourse in the book of 1 John is about the light of God, which the prophecy was talking about. It's about the life of God and then the love of God. That is the discourse in that book of John. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful morning. Amen. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. I started talking about this just exactly a month ago, and the Lord is bringing my heart back to that place. I wanted to focus on Romans 5 today, but I saw that also was taken care of in that short discourse. So very quickly, we'll just move on and go on today. Romans 14. Can we read together? For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. And then we saw clearly that it didn't separate really those three entities. They are one entity. Righteousness is peace. Peace is righteousness. Peace is joy. Joy is righteousness. And then he says righteousness and peace and joy, connecting all of them together. They are all in the Holy Ghost. And that this is it is in these things that we serve Christ. For that is what shows if we are acceptable to God. We serve Christ in righteousness. We serve Him in peace. We serve Him in joy that is domiciled in the Holy Ghost. And then we are acceptable to God and approved of men. And I began to talk about righteousness. If you still remember, ability to stand before God without a sense of fear, guilt, shame. And that righteousness is much more than what you do. It is who you are. He said, he that doeth righteousness is righteous. So actually you do righteousness because you have the nature of righteousness. So it's not just we do what is right. Because we don't even know what is right until it is revealed to us. We don't know what is good until it is shown to us. He said, Micah 6 here, but has shown you, O man, what is good. So what is good or what is right has to be shown. So righteousness is God's revelation. It is not what a man knows. So nobody can stay on this side and say, this is what righteousness is, because we don't even know it until God tells us this is what is righteousness. And we saw that in the example of what happened between Jesus and the disciples in John 21. When he told them, sons, do you have any bread there? Children, do you have any meat? And they said, no. We have toiled all night, nothing to catch. He said, throw your net on the right side. And I said, it's not that they were throwing it on the left side. Not necessarily the left side of the boat. But when he said, throw it on the right side, and they threw the net, it doesn't mean they threw it on the right part of the boat. But they threw the net as they should throw it. And then they threw the net based on commandment. And so fish from nowhere started rushing towards the net. They started moving in, and they enclosed a great fish. So that the opposite of right there is not necessarily left. It means they could have been doing it wrongly. And they are throwing it on the wrong side. So when you are on the wrong side, you are not right. So it takes the righteousness of God that is revealed in the gospel or through the teaching of Christ or the preaching of faith to show you what is right and what is wrong so that we can properly live our lives. So he's telling us here that what constitutes God's kingdom is righteousness. And incidentally, he has been teaching about judgment and righteousness. So when you read Psalm 97, you will see that the throne of God is founded on these two entities, righteousness and justice. He called it justice or judgment. That is it. So, and judgment is not what you come upon in a day. You have to be raised in judgment. So what God is doing that is raising us. So when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all those who believe. To the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. For in that is the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. So the gospel is the revelation of God's righteousness. How God wants it done, how it should be done, can only be known through the gospel. Hallelujah. And then we saw that human righteousness is abominable to God, and that we don't claim righteousness, like Paul said, being found in Him, not having my own righteousness. So there's something like your own righteousness. It is. That's what the Jews went after. They went after their own righteousness. They want to establish their own righteousness, and they put aside God's righteousness, and God said they were wrong. So your own righteousness is not acceptable to God, meaning that the standards that men put down is not the same as God's standard. So we don't go by standards of men. We go by the standards of God. That is revealed in the teaching of the faith. Amen. And that the end of righteousness or the end of the faith is obedience. We saw that also. Hallelujah. Can we read Romans chapter 16, verse 25? We emphasize that the essence of the faith is for obedience. So faith is not what we use to get things from God. That has been said over and over. Faith is not something we'll use. Faith is a life. Faith is a life we live. For the just shall live by faith. And I said that most times we say, I am living by faith, only when we are trusting God for provisions. Maybe you don't have money, you don't have food at home. You say, I'm living by faith. This time around, I'm living by faith. And the question comes to her, what have you been living by when you had food? You have been living by yam, like Dr. Oje told us. Maybe yam in your store is what you have been living by. But remember, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds. By the voice. We live by the voice. Because it's the voice that raises. So when you say the just shall live by faith, it's not what we confine to when we don't have money and we say, I'm living by faith. No. Our lives, whether we have money or we don't have money, we live by faith. Meaning that what propels our lives is faith, the principle that drives our life, our ideology. What makes us do the things we do is we are taking something from faith. Faith is instructing us in the background. We are being instructed by faith. It becomes an unconscious thing that every time we respond, we are responding based on the dictates of faith. We are not responding because of our education. We are not responding because of how enlightened we are or how much we have or where we have been to. No, what drives our response is faith. I like what Daddy said on Friday, that grace is not the same upon people, but the life of God should be the same. So if I can't prophesy, even though I should strive to prophesy, and if I prophesy, I should strive to interpret. Now that is good, but it's not as important as what faith produces in me. So if I can lay hold on life and I didn't prophesy, it's okay. Than to prophesy and not lay hold on life. Is that okay? So there are some things that are not common to us. They are not evenly distributed. Even life is not fair. Natural life is not fair. Some people have it more, some people have it less. Some people have a lot of education. They have degrees upon degrees. While somebody is struggling to just get OND. Some people have OND and they can't ever go further anymore. Now, it's not equal. We all have money. If you dip your hands in your pocket, you can bring out 50 naira. 50 naira is money. $1,000 is money. Some people have access to spending dollars. Some people have never sighted dollars before. It's not evenly distributed. But one thing is evenly distributed. One thing is a leveler. The result of faith. Faith from the gospel of Christ. You can't have it more than myself. It's available to all. God richly gives us all things to enjoy. All things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ Jesus. It's not based on your education. It's not based on anything. It's based on the provisions of grace. It's based on what Jesus did in that sacrifice. For all can come. So when he opened his eyes, one, he brought the Jews, he brought the Gentiles, and amalgamated them in the church of Jesus. So I'm glad I'm part of the church. Because when I'm in the church, I have access. He said, in whom we have boldness and access and confidence by the faith of him. So I have boldness. I have access. I have confidence. What brings boldness? It's not because I have muscle. It's not six packs. What brings access? It's not because I know the president. What brings confidence? It's not because I know that now when I get home, my food is waiting for me or something is waiting. No, it is the faith of Jesus that brings that to us by the faith of him. Hallelujah. So when we look at that Romans 16:25, it tells us what the end of the faith is. Can we read it? It says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. So the gospel is the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So the revelation of the mystery is in the gospel. It's the gospel which was kept secret since the world began, but now it's made manifest by the scriptures of the prophet. Like Daddy told us yesterday that the book of Psalm is not, you know, those days we say Messianic Psalm, Psalm 22. My God, how have you forsaken me? Psalm 45, Psalm 2, and we pick those and say, these are Messianic Psalm. No, he said everything is Messianic. From Psalm 1 to Psalm 150, it's Messianic. So it's not a Psalm we read, we used to read in water, or when there is a trouble. You know, there's something I've discovered. I don't know whether I've seen it. All the drivers, go to the drivers. Those who smoke Nibo, they smoke Chekpe, all of them. When they are traveling, they put Bible in front of their car. Have you noticed it? Begin to take note now. You see a man who knows next to nothing about God when he's traveling. He puts a Bible. Some people New Testament. Some people full Bible. And they will never read it. The Bible is dusty. It's been there for years. They feel that it's a protection. Let's put the Bible there. Nothing can happen. No, something will happen. No. Except God does not want something to happen. And so, the scriptures of the prophet is a revelation of the gospel as well. So it's not something we read in Psalm, and then when there is trouble, you open Psalm 35. Oh God, fight those who fight me. Oh God, no. I remember when we were young, we used to read Psalm 3 in Yoruba. You know, I was talking about Yoruba yesterday. Oluwako kawole nyereke, you know, God should remove their teeth. And we'll read that Psalm when we feel that we are distressed. No. They are all messianic. Yeah. Oh Lord. You know, that's the way the Yoruba people read it. As if they are chanting idol. And that's why if you are a Yoruba person, if you are not careful, you don't know when you go into all this spiritism. Because that's the way they do it in the occultic world. Okunrin yen pe Jesu oni Jesu olugbala sanu fun mi Jesu opo o kigbe lohun rara Jesu omo Davidi sanu fun mi wa gba. And then when they say those things, your body, you already have goose pimples. No, they are appealing to the Yoruba nature in you. Say awa pe oluwa olorun to nje olugbohun. Where is olugbohun? Is it far now? That's olugbohun. That I'm not lying to you. They say ogba olugbohun fa sesi Jesu Oluwawa. Where did you see that? They didn't say. He said, pray in the name. What? Which one? Jesu Oluwawa. You are not praying in the name of Jesus. You must say in Jesus' name. Ni oruko. It's called the power of attorney. You are not just calling it for fun. So you say Jesu Oluwawa. Ashetigo. That is what happens in the occultic or the traditional Yoruba setting. When they are doing ritual, the way they dance, the way they do those things, they have to psych those things for an idol to respond. God is not an idol. So you don't have to psych him. So don't use Bible for those things anymore. And you go to Psalms and you pick it up and you read it. I don't know where God, maybe God can give you an express instruction, go and read this portion and do this and do that. But some things are not consistent with the New Testament. Is that okay? You read Psalm inside water, you now drank it, and then you feel is she going today? No. God can ask you to do some things. It is God. And when he asks you to do something that is physical, do you know what is happening? You are not strong in faith. So he's trying to help your faith. That's why God tells you, anoint them with oil. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. It's not the oil that heals the sick. It's the prayer of faith. But sometimes when people find something to lay hold on to, their faith is stronger. And so when I bring an handkerchief out, I say, Latin Jerusalem ni motimuwa. Now, some people, their faith will arise immediately when they see handkerchief from Jerusalem. You will take this handkerchief. Anything you touch it with. I heard of somebody who anointed, the computer was faulty, was anointing computer. What is wrong with you? Instead of give it to wisdom, let him blow it or fix it or replace the RAM or change the hard disk, you are anointing computer. That is how sunken we have been. We have become. If I'm not saying God cannot ask you to anoint things. You can anoint things. I heard of a man of God. Arm robbers came to the church, stole a lot of cars and all of that. Even though he has warned them, don't go before we share the grace. But a lot of people will run away because they want to be the holder. And then there's this, what's the name of that popular Shinorambo or so, that block and took all their cars away. And the man of God said, I have told you, but you know, listen, anyway, bring me anointing oil. And he went to the road and poured the anointing oil across the road and went away. The following week, they arrested the arm robber. IGP himself was the one who led the operation to arrest him. God could do that. But we are saying that don't quickly put your faith in what is seen. Because faith is unseen. It's unseen. It's an unseen reality. When I say unseen, it's not seen to the visible eye. But it's a reality that we can see. Go and read Hebrews 11. You see, by faith he saw. They didn't do some exploits alone, but they came into a reality of a life. Even at the end of the day, what the faith could get them was a good report. That's what the faith gave to them, a good report. But they didn't get the promise. So faith is to bring us the promise. So when you look at the scriptures of the prophet, what is found in the scriptures of the prophet is the revelation of Jesus Christ. But at that time, there was no understanding. And God actually did not mean that they should understand it at that time, because he had a testament which he was going to bring. He was going to bring the son. He was going to bring in a speaking that would be done by the son. So let them keep speaking. So they spoke parables. They spoke similitudes. They spoke things they didn't understand. But when we got into the New Testament and we saw the discourse of Paul, you read Romans, you see Paul quoting Isaiah, quoting Matthew, quoting Hosea, quoting Jeremiah. He was just quoting all the scriptures. Even Jesus came in Luke 24, he said, "For this is written of me." Moses wrote of me. He said, "The law and the prophet and the Psalms, they all testified of me." So all those scriptures are pointers to Christ. So Christ is the summary of the scripture. So when you take scripture, it's not a place you used to chant like an idol. You take one and you draw. You know, there was a man of God who said, "Wagbadua, awon iya je to takinik." And then he went into the scripture and he brought out that place where they wrote it. "Iya je." I've never seen that place. It's in Hosea. Yeah, somewhere there. I will look for that scripture. You know, when you read English Bible, you don't get to know something. As I said, if you're a Yoruba person, you have to be careful. Because they don't know when you import Yoruba ideology into Bible. Don't tell one in your knee. Selling them for the witch that sell them for something. The way the Yoruba Bible wrote it is Yaje, don't tell one. Selling them for two kobo or something like that. And then, and when you see that in the Bible, even it's in the Bible. And then they will come and pray. That's not what the scriptures of the prophet are meant for. He said, as fact, I know a pastor. He said, when a babalawo wakes up, there are some things he does. They call it ajisa in Yoruba. What you wake up to chant. So a babalawo, a herbalist, will wake up in the morning, he will touch this, he will say a lot of words, then he will go to that, touch this, he will say a lot of words, he will do this, then he will feel that today is secure. Is that okay? He said, so we are not going to do that, but we have our own ajisa. They are in the book of Psalms. Then he start bringing out some scripture from Psalms. Let them melt before the Lord like wax, like fat melt before the Lord. Every enemy, as fat melt before the Lord, let them melt. And then there are scriptures like that scattered around some, and they will collate all of them. They will say, "This is our own." So every morning, they first of all go through all those prayers. It's not necessary, because that's not what they are meant for. And without understanding, we will misapply the scripture. So he said, the scripture of the prophet is now made manifest by that scripture. What is made manifest? The revelation of Jesus Christ. The preaching of Christ is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophet. According to the commandment of the everlasting God. For what? Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. So faith is to be obeyed. To obey faith is to align with faith. To obey faith is to align with the commandments of God. Much more than instruction. It's a body of knowledge. Living, that is the same thing as living by faith. You are living by the commandment. And then when you align with the commandment, you are living in obedience. So obedience is much more than an action. Do this, I did it. Don't do this, I didn't do it. It's much more than that. It's conforming to a life. Amen. So we read in that scripture that righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, that is the kingdom of God. And we saw a lot about righteousness then. And let's look at peace now. When you say peace, you see, I told you, I said all of them are connected, they are the same. Righteousness is peace. Peace is righteousness. Now, I want us to read the scripture in Isaiah 9. You know that scripture, 9:6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor." And like that, they will read it, Wonderful Counselor. That is actually one name. It's a Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the what? The Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace. So you see connection between government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to do what? To order it and to establish it with what? You see judgment coming in again, and with what? Justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So when you look at peace, peace is not just a state of not doing anything or just being calm. You see somebody who is a little bit on the dull side, you said he's peaceful. You may not be peaceful, even though you may be on the quiet side, really, not even gentle now. When you see somebody is gentle in Nigeria, you mean somebody who doesn't talk, who doesn't hurt a fly. The person is simply quiet. Is that okay? He's not gentle. In the same way that somebody appears calm on the surface, doesn't do anything. Say, just peaceful. No, that's not peace. You can be running up and down like Pastor Alfred and you are peaceful. Is that okay? You can be full of energy and you are peaceful. So peacefulness is not a demeanor of the face. It's something of the heart. And then when you look at peace has to do with divine order and arrangement. That is peace.
So peace, when you are at peace, it said it is a state of being in alignment with divine counsel. That is peace. Don't forget, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God for those who serve God in these things. So you must serve God according to order. When you are serving God according to order, you are serving God in peace. It's a state of being in alignment with divine counsel. It's a state of following the order of God. Because that is peace. He said, thou will keep in perfect peace. I think Psalm 26 or Isaiah 26. Whose mind is stayed on you. For he trusted in thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. Keep. So, peace is a keeper. Peace is not something docile or something weak. Peace is security that is given only by God. So, when you are in peace, you are in order and you are kept. So, when they tell you, you keep the order, you keep the order, it is because it is that order that will also keep you. If you don't keep the order, you cannot be kept. He said, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves by the Holy Ghost. Because peace is in the Holy Ghost. So, the way you are kept is by the Spirit. You are kept from anxiety. You are kept from trouble. You are kept from so many things. That is an effect of peace. He said, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication coupled with thanksgiving, make your request known unto God. And what will happen next? And the peace of God, which passeth. So this is not the peace you think about. Shall do what? Shall keep your heart and mind. Those are the two templates. What we keep that two templates, not because of your bank account that you see and give you security. No, all those ones are false securities. They are not. This is the true security. The peace of God. Whatever keeps your heart, whatever keeps your mind intact, so that the law can be written on it. That is peace. So peace is divine order and divine arrangement that we must align our lives with. And how does it come? It comes when you have been justified by faith. That's when you have access to peace. So let's read Romans 5. It said, therefore, being justified by faith, what do we have? What do we have? So, if you are not justified by faith, you don't have peace. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace with God because we have been justified by faith. And now, it's not a one-time thing. Because I did read to us that a lot of people pick these scriptures to say, I've been justified by faith, and it's true. But when you read Galatians 2:16, you will now see that the Bible talks about being justified. Look at that. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Is that okay? Do you agree to that? Does he align with Romans 5:1? That we are justified. You see that? He said, but even we have believed in Jesus that we might be. Did you see that now? So if peace comes as a result of being justified by faith, that means that peace will be maintained as we keep being justified. As we are being cleansed, as we are being washed, we are being justified more, and we are able to access the peace of God. There's a scripture that Daddy read to us long ago, Zechariah 6:13, talking about the order and the alignment between the priest and the king. Zechariah 6:13, show me that scripture. It said, even he shall be, talking about Zechariah now, but it's prophetic about Christ. He shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. Have you seen a priest on the throne? You find a priest in the temple. But here, you find a king on the throne. But look at what he said. He said, he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the counsel of peace shall be between them both. I tried to read it in Amplified so that I can get a good clarity of it. He said, yes, you are building a temple of the Lord. But it is he who shall build the true temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the honor and glory as of the only begotten of the Father, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between the two offices, priest and king. That's how Amplified rendered it. You see, bringing the office of a priest and the office of a king in alignment. He said, the counsel of peace. Don't forget Isaiah. And he shall to order his kingdom and to establish it. So peace is what establishes us. Peace is what orders our life. And don't forget, we have been called to be priests and kings. Hallelujah. So when you look at peace, it's what proceeds from righteousness. It comes by being justified by faith. And then as we keep being justified, but it's also an outflow of righteousness. During the fasting that you read that scripture, Isaiah 32. Let's read that from verse 15. Unto the spirit report from on high. Are you there? Upon us, and the wilderness become what? A fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for a forest. And then what will happen? Judgment will now do what? Will dwell in the wilderness. And righteousness will remain in the fruitful field. What will now happen? And the work of righteousness shall be what? Peace. And the effect of righteousness will be what? Quietness and assurance forever. So peace is what assures the heart. And it's an outflow of righteousness. A man cannot truly access the peace of God if you have not come into the righteousness of God. You can't access the peace of God. And then, like I said yesterday, a lot of scriptures we read and we push it out to the unbelievers or those who are not born again, but they are actually addressing the church. So one of those scriptures is the one you find in Isaiah 48:22, the same scripture in Isaiah 57:21. It says, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Now you say, the wicked have no peace, oh, the wicked have no peace. But remember, the Bible has already told us in Romans 3:10, they don't know the way of peace. So they don't even know it. They are not there at all. But he's saying, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And then the question comes, who is the wicked? I think that he was talking about it yesterday. Wickedness. What you call wickedness is not what is wickedness in the sight of God. So let's see an aspect of wickedness this morning. Isaiah 55, verse 7, so that you will know whether you have peace or not. Whether you can access peace or not. He said, let the wicked forsake his way. Who should forsake his way? And the unrighteous man should do what? Should forsake his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him. And to our God. For he will abundantly pardon. So what makes you wicked is when you take on to your ways and your thoughts. When you forsake God's ways and God's thoughts. When you read further, it talks, he said, my ways are not your ways. Is he saying that to the unbeliever? My thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heaven is far from the earth, so are my ways far from your ways, and my thoughts from your thoughts. So he's now counseling. Please, let the wicked forsake his way. So when you forsake the way of the Lord, you are termed the wicked one. When you take on your own thoughts, and you throw aside God's thoughts, which is God's intention, which is God's mind, which is God's will, you have started walking in the path of wickedness. So when Daddy said yesterday, the ungodly are not so. So who is that ungodly? It's not one man there that has not believed in Jesus. And you saw that splattered through the Old New Testament. The ungodly acts, which they have gone in an ungodly way. He said, the Lord will come and will turn Jacob away from ungodliness. So it can be with a believer. So you need to forsake your ways. Not just an unbeliever coming to be born again. His way is already wrong. His way is already, everything about him is wrong. God needs to, he needs to be quickened. But most of the times, we come in with our own ways, our own thoughts, our own reasoning. We apply them to God. You see, there's something about God, when you are relating with God, you don't relate with God based on what you know. You relate with God on his own terms of engagement. Or you relate with him, you deal with him based on his own rules of engagement. You don't bring your own. And that is why it's a problem when you see a man who is full of his ways or who is full of his thoughts. It will be difficult for the thoughts of God to have way in you because you already have a template. Like the rich young ruler, he was already rich. So God cannot bless him anymore. So God wanted to actually bless him. He wanted to add life to his riches. But God says, no, you don't add life to what you already have. Life takes over. You put aside who you are. When Paul said, being found in him, not having my own, it must not be found. Anything of the flesh must not be found. And that's why most of the Old Testament sacrifices, it must not be with yeast. It must not be with leaven. I don't want to find anything that pops up, anything that is of man. Any, I don't want it. Let it be the way it is. So, the rich young ruler was to be helped by Jesus. And Jesus said, the only way you can be helped is that. Go and sell all you have. Empty yourself of who you are. And let me fill you. And then you will find eternal life. But it was too hard for him to do. He couldn't do that. Hallelujah. So, as God's children, God's people, we need to forsake our ways and come to God. Amen. I said, peace is what keeps the soul. Nothing else can keep the soul. Money cannot keep the soul. Position cannot keep the soul. And that's why you see somebody in a position where they should not be agitated, they are troubled. You see most of these people in high places, they don't sleep like you sleep. Because they are afraid. They are always trying to find a way to secure themselves. They can do anything. They have people, they have marabouts, they visit all around to check what's happening. Am I okay? Sir, you will need to drop 2 million. Okay, 2 million. Drop 2 million. That's the way they live their lives. They don't have peace. Because the only thing that keeps the soul is peace. It's not money. Neither is it position. Amen. It is what brings the soul into the state of rest. So Jesus will say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. What will happen? I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Mama was teaching us yesterday that rest, that rest is prosperity. It's the prosperity of the soul. He said, take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn. You see learning there. That learning is involved for you to access peace. Say, for I am meek and lowly. What will now happen? You will find rest for your soul. True rest for the soul, true peace for the soul comes when we learn of God. So he said, your children shall be taught of the Lord and great shall be their peace. So the extent you can access peace is a function of what you have learned of the Lord or what the Lord has taught you. Hallelujah. We read that scripture before. Do not be careful for anything, but in everything by prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes understanding will do what? Keep your hearts and mind. Why will a man take thought for his life? Because you don't have access to the peace of God. That's when you take thought. When you are someone who is agitated about everything, you are agitated about a woman at the time was worried about the children. And they said, what's the problem? Say, I'm just worried that maybe this child will grow up, will ever grow up to go to university. And then the child grew up and went to university and came out. And the woman was still worried. He said, what's the problem? He said, I'm worried whether she will get a husband now. And then the woman went ahead and got married and got a husband. And the woman is still worried. He said, what's the problem? He said, I'm worried whether she will give birth to children. And then she will worry till she dies. Because it's not those things that gives, that assures they are. Otherwise, when it happened the first time, she should have been assured that, oh, the God who did this will do the rest. And that's when the Bible says, don't take thought. Please don't take thought. Don't take thought, because when you take it, it takes you over. It runs you to where you don't want to go. Don't be worried about anything. Say, consider the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't spin. Your heavenly Father does what? He feeds them. So if God can feed the birds and you are still agitated with all your revelation, then you are not better than the birds. That's the truth. And you know the two sparrows, what's their cost? Less than a farthing. Less than a penny. That's the cost of selling two sparrows. Yet they are doing well. So God wants us to come into a state where we are informed by the knowledge of righteousness on how to order our affair, even in the natural, so that you will not run the race of an unbeliever. I said this sometimes. I said, be careful when you set goals. Say, before 40, I must have built my house. At 25, I must have a car. At 25. Now, you know, unconsciously, that will be driving everything you do. You will be too focused. And some parents also transfer the same to their children. Just know that your life is being completed before you stepped out. Huh? Everything about your life is already completed. All your journey. So when you come here, what do? You start finding out, God, how have you plotted my life? And that is why I keep saying, don't be too quick to say, let me do this. This Nigeria, I'm done with it. A lady told me that, said, I'm done with Nigeria. The Nigeria project we are praying for, we are trusting God for, a great time is coming upon this country. He said, I'm done with this country. I'm off. Why? But did God say you are done? Don't forget what we read yesterday. As true ministers of God, you approve yourself in distresses. Eh? What people, do you know those of us in Nigeria, we are tough people? Nigeria has toughened us. And that is why when Nigerians go outside, for instance, students, when they go to study abroad, you know, you see they excel. That's true. So because your environment affects what you do. But irrespective of that, we don't just jump out anyhow. You are an arrow in the quiver that God is preparing. Because God has an intention. Your intention is not God's intention. Your intention is to better your life. But God's intention is to better your life too. But the means is different. The end is different. Your own intention, let me better my life. Let me be okay. Let me graduate. Let me get a good job and all of that. I met a man. He was speaking. He was sad. He said, well, when I graduated, I looked for a job and there was no job. And then I started selling phones. And that's what I'm doing today. You can see sadness written all over him. He's already disappointed that life did not. So I'm wondering, did somebody tell you that job is waiting for you somewhere? Who told you that? Why are you deceiving yourself? That you think you will graduate from university and you'll be expecting you will get a job? Who put it there for you? Is it federal government or state government? So why don't you wake up to realities? Wake up to realities. You take 500,000 to go and do PhD now. Why don't you start a business that you know? And that PhD you will struggle throughout. It's not like you are the academic type or you are academically inclined. You just want to have PhD at all costs. Why? Why don't you go and start, look inwards. Let God open your eyes to what you can do. The secret is in go to. So when the Bible says, man shall not live by bread, but by every word, by the commandment. Whatever it is that you are doing, are you doing it by the commandment? Is it revealed? I don't want to do what is not revealed. You should not do what is not revealed. You must live by the revelation of God. That revelation of God is not only spiritual. It affects everything about your life. Natural too. It's inclusive. It's inclusive. So don't quickly take some serious decisions and just go like that. And just take them without making recourse to the book. Let's check the book. What has the book said? We are his workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That is the goal of God. That is his intention. That we should walk in them. That we should walk in them. They have been ordained before the world. So why don't you find out what is written of you? And Jesus stood up that day and read the scripture and closed the book and sat down and all eyes were fastened on him. And he told them, this scripture is written of me. What have you found that is written of you? It is what people say you are. A lot of people live by newspapers. A lot of people live on the social media. Ah, what is happening? This is the trend now. Okay, this is trend though. They arrange their life to trend. Knowing that trend will always come and end. Don't you see the word trend? T-R-end. It will end now. And if the trend ends, your life has ended. But God is not a trend person. No. You know, some people say, let's do trend analysis to see the way the church is moving. No, forget it. It's in God. God has analyzed everything. He's completed it. He has spoken in Christ. Christ is the only thing. Hebrews 1:1. He has now spoken by his son. That is the trend. And that is the end there. And the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. It doesn't follow earthly trend. So don't live like a mere man. Because you have access to more things in God. Treasures of God. That God has ordained for you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So we said, there's no peace yet, my God, to the wicked. So don't be a wicked person. Don't forsake God's thought. Don't take on your own thoughts. Let God keep your soul. Don't be anxious about anything. Hallelujah. And take note of this. Very important. If the peace of God does not keep your heart, guard, not guide now, G-U-A-R-D, guard, to keep your heart and mind, because why will it, you know, the ark is a place where the testimony is kept. So wherever the testimony is, must be kept. So if the testimony will be in your heart and mind, it means your heart and mind must be kept. So if that does not happen, then the God of peace cannot bruise Satan under your feet shortly. There's a scripture that says that. It says, and the God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Who will do that? God of peace will bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Now, before your feet are strengthened to bruise Satan, you must have been raised by judgment. But you know what will do that? It's the peace of God. So without the peace of God, keeping your heart and mind where the testimony will be kept, the God of peace cannot bruise Satan under your feet shortly. So what we do has a far-reaching effect. So when we are being raised now, we are being raised in stature, so that we come to that place where we are able to trample upon the dragon. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. You must come to that point. What will bring you to that point is peace, where you are not disturbed by anything. Jesus was sleeping in the boat. It's a type. He was sleeping and there was winds blowing, storm, boisterous storm like that. Did Jesus shout? He was sleeping. He was sleeping like a baby. And then they woke him. Master, don't you care that we perish? He's in the boat with them. They should even be thinking, but boss, if master is not shouting, we should not shout. But he got up and he spoke to the wind and said, peace, be still. So that voice that he spoke, he was actually extending himself to the sea. I'm here. Don't you know I'm here? I'm taking my siesta. Come on. Yes, sir. And everything became calm. It's more than a statement. It's an embodiment of an arrangement that has settled in Christ. He has grown in understanding to know that he can't die in water. A lot of people are traveling in the bus to Lagos. They will pray throughout. They are not praying for the education of their soul. They are praying so that there will be no accident. And they are telling the driver what to do every moment. Driver, hey, hello, thank you. It's at an absence of something. Something is not settling down. Hebrews 13:20. You see what the God of peace is said to do in us? He said, now the God of peace, who did what? That brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. What will he do? What will he do? It will make you perfect. To do in perfect in every good work, to do his will. What will he be doing? Working in you that which is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Who will do that? The God of peace. But the God of peace will not do that if the peace of God has not colonized your heart. Hallelujah. It's good to be stayed on God. Sometimes we worry unnecessarily more than God. We think God does not know about some things of our lives. He knows everything. Assure yourself that God does what? He knows everything. Don't bother yourself. Rest. Because what the peace of God is working is far more important than what is natural. He's working in you every good work, so that you can be empowered to do God's will. So that you can work in a way that will be pleasing him. So a man who does not have access to the peace of God can never please God. You can't please God if the peace of God does not take over your heart. So you must tell yourself today that I can't be more concerned about my life more than God. There are some things I can't handle. So if I can't handle them, why should I bother myself to handle them? If there is something you can handle, handle it. But if you know that this matter, if God will not do anything, nothing will happen, why do you go ahead to worry? You're just worrying him. Why don't you let the one who can handle it, handle it? Hallelujah. I feel God is calling our hearts into rest this morning. And he's calling our heart also into his love, to come into that estate where we are not bothered, where we are not agitated by anything. Hallelujah. Can we bless God this morning and appreciate our Father? He's faithful, he's good to us. He said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And because of that, we stand in this faith by grace. And then we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The last part of that thing is joy, which we'll look at some other time. He said, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So that hope of the glory of God is what gives us joy. And Christ in you is the hope of glory. So when you have Christ, you have everything. When you have Christ, not just everything in the natural, you also have access to divine promises. You have access to what God has ordained for man to be right from the foundation of the world. We pray this morning in the name of Jesus that the peace of God will keep our hearts. We will not live by our thoughts. We will not live by our ways. Let the wicked man forsake his way. Lord, I hand over everything to you. Take hold of everything. Take charge of everything. Take charge of my life. In the name of Jesus Christ, pray to God this morning.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that have come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.